You're listening to the AI Ireland podcast. My name is Mark Kelly, the founder of AI Ireland. If you're new to the podcast, AI Ireland's mission is to accelerate the use of AI for the benefit of our society, our competitiveness, and everyone living in Ireland. To achieve this, we run projects of national interest, most notably the AI Awards. As a member of AI Ireland, we make available in-depth case studies of AI being applied in Ireland and access to our private member areas where you'll find exclusive interviews and webinars. To find out additional information on how to become a member, please head over to AIIreland/memberships. Quick one, before this episode starts, about 75% of people who listen to this podcast on audio platforms, Spotify and Apple, haven't yet hit that follow button. If I can ask a favor to you, if you've ever enjoyed this podcast, please can I ask that you hit that follow up button on that app. It helps the show more than I can ever say. The bigger the show gets, the better the guests get. Thank you and enjoy this conversation. Hello everybody, I hope you're doing really well. And I'm very, very happy to welcome Ignacio Colas Vidal to the AI Ireland podcast. Ignacio, great to have you on the show. You are the CEO and founder of Arm. Tell us a little bit about Arm for people that don't know much about you and your company. We got to know each other because you made an application for the AI Awards in 2022, and I had the pleasure to find out a little bit about your company from that. But for people that don't know much about yourself, tell us a little bit more about you.
AR monitoring task is basically we help firms, mostly financial firms and utilities, identify and verify consumers that have any type of vulnerability. So we are the only company at the moment that can both identify and verify any type of vulnerability characteristic. And when we talk about vulnerability characteristics or vulnerable customers, people always tend to think about financial difficulties, but I think that is a little bit outdated. And now we're focusing not only on financial difficulties, but on other situations that may affect the consumer, like life events. You may lose your job at some point, or you have to take care of your parents. It could also be physical and mental health issues, a severe illness or mental well-being that prevents you to take important financial decisions at a very specific moment.
Ignacio, for people that don't necessarily know why you started it, what kind of got you motivated about doing this? Because for people who are working day to day and maybe don't have any issues or concerns paying bills, that's absolutely fine. But for everyone else, there can be some life changes that can really impact how you actually function and cover your day-to-day bills.
That's absolutely right. And funnily enough, we're a European company and we're focused on the European market. But the idea all started in the US, where I work as a consultant for firms that were acquiring mortgage portfolios. And usually what you would expect from customers that were going in foreclosure or bankruptcy was that they had financial difficulties or they were subprime customers. And it was not always the case. Quite in the contrary, there were a lot of cases where someone who was like perfectly financially viable, they went through severe physical illness, and then they could not afford to pay their bills or mortgages for an extended period of time, like 3, 6, 9 months. But still, they were financially viable because once they were okay, they had a good salary, they had a good experience, good education, and they were financially solid. So that was what motivated us to move from the current view of a customer as just like a financial asset to a more broad human that may have specific or transient vulnerabilities at a certain point of time, but they are still financially viable. They just need specific help and support from their financial institution in a very specific time of their lives.
So how does your technology help customers, and how do you try to succeed with that?
So we like to differentiate between customers and consumers. Our customers are financial firms or even utility firms that provide a service to consumers. So how customers, which are financial firms and utility firms, could benefit from us is because at the moment, there was no one to provide that information. So information about vulnerability was, it is scattered across a lot of different databases. They need the customer consent to access some of those databases. And most of the times, if not all of the times, those databases don't speak to each other. So what we're doing is putting all those databases into one centralized vulnerability passport that provides all the information needed from those financial institutions or utility firms. And how can a consumer benefit? I can actually provide an example that we're doing with utilities at the moment. So utilities for customers going through a specific physical illness, they can provide grant support and they can add them to a list of priority service. So they can get a discount on their bill. Plus, if there's any outage in the region or if there's any problem with the supply, they get primary service. They are the first to be served by those utility firms. So that is how they can benefit from being identified as a vulnerable customer.
When you look at the vulnerability passport and the technology behind that, what made it challenging to bring it all together?
So there are two factors, or even three factors, right? Like number one, you need a standard that anyone can understand in 30 seconds. So for instance, if we talk about physical health, you, me, and mostly everyone, if we get a medical report, we wouldn't understand what's in that medical report. What we do is translate that information into something that anyone can understand. So we have a standard. Number two, as we are putting together a lot of different databases into just one vulnerability passport, it's a lot of integrations. Again, it's a lot of putting all the data in the right format and in a standard that could be understood by anyone. And finally, I think the third, and it's probably the most important factor, is our AI model. So the good thing is that we can receive information from a lot of different databases that are giving us a lot of information about a lot of different vulnerability characteristics. So our vulnerability passport comes with a vulnerability score that tells companies how confident we are that a vulnerable might be suffering from vulnerability characteristics. And that helps them prioritize the customers with the highest impact and get back to them or provide the support as soon as possible.
So the current climate that we're in, I'm guessing there's going to be a high demand for this because, you know, with prices changing so quickly, the inflation, you know, the world we're living in now is just so volatile. So this can be a benefit to almost everyone.
That's absolutely correct. So our expectation is that by 2030, your financial institution or your primary services firms will not do a financial check, but also a vulnerability check. And for instance, some countries like the UK, they are already pushing for regulation around identifying vulnerable customers, and not only identifying vulnerable customers, but what are their characteristics. And that's that regulation in the UK, it's coming into effect by mid-2023. And I can say how companies that we were talking with a few months ago, they were pretty calm around that regulation. But now that is going into effect in a few months, they are starting to panic a little bit, and they are starting to call us and ask for a trial and to start working with them, because it went from the bottom of their priorities to the top of their priority list. And also what we've seen is that at first, firms thought around vulnerability as a cost or as an impediment for their operations and businesses. And as very specific use cases around vulnerability are starting to evolve, they are starting to see the benefit and the return on investment. So for instance, I was mentioning utility firms. With our report, they can easily identify vulnerable customers that could get support from the government. That helps utility firms prevent customers going into arrears, but also it helps consumers with the cost of living crisis, because some of the grants could pay up to 50% of their utility bills, which are increasingly a huge part of their budget.
So you're being proactive about this, and this is helping to stop bad debts. It's improving the customer experience, and also if you're getting it early, you're actually helping to save a lot of money rather than actually trying to chase for the bad debts and try to manage through that. So you're actually prepared in advance.
That's absolutely right. And I have like a huge experience in the financial industry, and I can assure that the worst business for a company is a consumer that is not paying their bills. It could be either a utility company or a mortgage company, but it's really bad business if a consumer is or if a customer is not paying their bills. It comes with a lot of costs. So if we could be proactive and identify those customers and provide that the right support, that will prevent most of their unpaid debt. And on top of that, it's like you said, it's just like being proactive and not only identifying very specific customers that are having very specific challenges like financial difficulties. You can also prevent, if you identify the root cause of that financial difficulty, that could be a physical health issue, then you're being proactive and identifying ways to support a customer before they fall into bad debt.
Tell us a little bit more about the underlying technology and how you've been able to utilize that. So is it by kind of NLP? Is there some computer vision in there, recommendation? What's underlying?
So at the moment, we're using a machine learning algorithm. We're looking at four different types of databases. Number one, personal information. It's not the same if you're in a household of two than if you're a household of five. It's not the same if you live in the center of London or if you live in a sparse or rural area. The second database that we use is transactional data. So that means income and expenditure assessments or banking transactions, in some cases, open banking. That gives us the opportunity to identify if customers are spending a large amount of money in specific expenses, or it also helps us identify trends. So for instance, if someone has a trend of gambling or addiction, or they're spending without, um, or, they're spending a lot of money at weird hours or a lot of money in a very short period of time that help us identify certain vulnerability characteristics. And then we look at some other databases, mostly to verify what we found. So for instance, we look at databases around income to verify that customers are actually receiving income either from a company, or perhaps they are receiving that income from the government because they're receiving benefits. That also help us identify customers that may have financial difficulties or physical conditions. But also when we go back to the firms, it helps us provide the right information so they can take the next steps to provide support.
Brilliant. That's fantastic. You've been listening to the AI Ireland podcast, and today I've been sharing with Ignacio Cordes Fidel. And Ignacio has been providing a little bit of an overview about his company Arm and how it can help by spotting trends by leveraging machine learning to be able to help vulnerable customers to make sure that they have a better customer experience, but also helping the businesses. And we had a really good example where a utility firm could understand if some of their new customer has the opportunity to avail of government grants and be able to give them that discount while also being able to effectively bill the government rather than actually sending relevant bills to the customer. If they actually don't need those ones, they should actually be under a different plan. This can actually help reduce bad debts and actually just have a lot of time and energy saved. We also talked about the vulnerability passport and how there can be actually extra steps taken to see what people are more vulnerable than others and how to actually be proactive about giving them a better experience. Thank you very much for your time, Ignacio.
My pleasure. Thanks, Mark.
Membership of AI Ireland places your organization at the center of the fastest growing technology sector in the world today. As a member, you'll have access to a diverse and highly engaged professional community, which is committed to driving artificial intelligence forward in Ireland. Membership of AI Ireland is for any organization employing data and analytics. We offer memberships to corporate, government, and SME organizations. Interested to find out more? Contact Mark at AIAwards.ie.